Bible, you could turn to Luke chapter 24. Turn to Luke chapter 24. If you don't have a Bible, you can turn to on your iPad or your iPhone. Or there's no excuse for not having the Bible these days, right? I mean, our phones are pretty smart. We can, if you don't have the Bible app, get the Bible app. But as you turn there, I just want to pray. Father, I just thank you so much for Easter. I thank you for today. I thank you, God, for the resurrection. I thank you, God, for your goodness in our lives, Lord Jesus, that you are here right now, God. And we worship you. We love you with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. I just pray, God, that you would just have your way today, that you would speak to our hearts and just do something fresh in us. And God, we thank you for the Eastern Sierras. We thank you for all those that we get to rejoice with around the globe that are just saying, holy is the King, risen is our Savior. God, we just thank you for the body of Christ. And Lord, we just join in that chorus of hallelujahs around the world right now. And we just say, you are awesome, you are good, you are Savior, you are King. And we pray that you would just meet us today. God, anoint this word and seal it on all of our hearts in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yay. Actually, you can start in Luke 23. Luke 23. And I was just kind of, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can camp out on specific scriptures or passages and things will come alive that weren't necessarily alive before, but have always been in the text. Has that ever happened to you? And for this particular text and passage, I, for obvious reasons, was just studying out the last week of Jesus's life and then the last day of Jesus's life. And there was something that really kind of hit my heart as I began to study the last day of Jesus's life. And I began to kind of get overwhelmed by this thought and this idea that Jesus walked a road for you and me. That he walked this road. Everybody say road. And that's, in fact, what I want to title this message today. I want to title it, The Road. Say, The Road. The Road. And I was thinking about this road, and he obviously had to walk a seven-mile road. He had to walk a road to Calvary, and it was a road full of pain. It was a road full of rejection. It was a road full of hurt. It was a road full of a lot of uncomfortable things. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. And actually, if you look at history books, if you look at that part of the world, there, that road, that stretch of road that he actually walked on has a name. Do you know it has a name? We sing about it, or maybe you don't sing about it. I mean, Catholics sing about it. It's called Via Dolorosa. Oh, yeah, yeah. Via Dolorosa. And that was the actual strip of that Jesus had to walk. He carried his cross on this road, this painful road, this road of suffering. And Via Dolorosa actually means painful way. Somebody say painful way. Or also it means the way of suffering. And so he walked this road of rejection. He walked this road of shame. He walked a road of excruciating pain for you and for me. Can somebody say amen? And as I just began to kind of like just hone in on the road that Jesus walked, I was just kind of overwhelmed and I was overcome with this revelation that Jesus walked a road that ultimately led him to the cross so that our road could lead to life. He walked a road that would lead him to the cross, that he was beaten, he was crucified, he rose from the dead. His road led him to the cross so that our road could lead to abundant life in this life right now, but even more than that, eternal life. Yes. He wants us to have eternal life with him. And so it was this fascinating picture of the road and keeping your eyes on his road. Amen. And so we read chapter 23 in the Gospel of Luke. I love Luke, and we see that Jesus is dragged through the city, and they spit on him. They put a crown of thorns upon him. And I mean, it is the worst death that an individual could face. It was just horrible. And then we see, I just want to read this one verse. It doesn't really go with my message, but I think it is one of the most pivotal verses for us in the entire Bible. And that's found in 23, 45. This is after he is hanging on the cross. And it says, "Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two." If you don't have that underlined, I would encourage you to underline that, highlight that, put squiggly notes all around that. That's good stuff. He's just saying hallelujah. It's all right. That's just baby talk for hallelujah. This is an amazing scripture because this is when history changed for us. This is when life changed for us. This is when the wall of separation between humanity and a holy God was completely annihilated, was completely busted down. And now for the first time since Adam and Eve, we can have relationship, fellowship, and communion with a holy God. This is what the gospel is about. This is what the cross is about. That he broke all the sin and separation and everything that rebellion had brought. He broke it down, and now we have access to God. That's so good. And this is the gospel. And this is why I just get so excited and passionate, because he made a way for us. And so he hangs on the cross. It says that he gives up his spirit and he breathes his last breath. And this is 23. And then it goes on in verse 50. It says he's buried in Joseph's tomb. And then it gets to this interesting part. And we're going to focus on chapter 24 for just a moment. And obviously, in my Bible, it says he is risen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we know that on the third day he rose again. He didn't stay in the grave. But I just want to draw your attention to this interesting story that has always kind of fascinated me, but for whatever reason, it kind of came alive in a different way. And that is starting in verse 13 of chapter 24. And it's the story of the two men on the road to Emmaus. Say Emmaus.
Emmaus.
Say it really fast.
Emmaus.
Sounds like you're saying Emmaus. Emmaus. It's Emmaus.
Emmaus.
This is wonderful story of these two men who walked with Jesus. And it says one of the individuals' name, his name was Cleopas, if I'm saying, hope I'm saying that right. Cleopas, and it doesn't give the other individual's name, but I don't know. As I was studying this out, I found something that I didn't even know before about this particular individual. Maybe you know this. Maybe you are a scholar. Maybe you are just a history buff. I don't know, but I found out that this guy right here is actually Joseph's brother, who's Mary's husband, which means that this dude right here is Jesus' uncle. Mm-hmm. So this kind of puts a whole different spin on this story when you know the characters. When you know who they're talking about. Now, think about that for a minute. This man, this is Jewish culture. Families are closer, very close. And so you know that he's known Jesus since he was a toddler. He's seen this Jesus since he was a baby and growing up, and he had much respect. And then he followed him as Messiah. He heard the teachings. This is, in fact, why this man and the other man made the trek to Jerusalem to be there for Passover, to be with Jesus. They watched Jesus be beaten and crucified and hung on a cross. But for whatever reason, they begin to get discouraged. Why? Because they left before the amazing climax of the story. And this was the most like amazing moment in history. And they're like, I think the story's over. I think we're just gonna go back home. We're gonna go back to Emmaus. But how many know the story wasn't over yet? It's never over. But you read commentaries about these particular men, and it writes how they were extremely discouraged, they were sad, and maybe even a little cynical. Because they had given their life to following this Jesus, to following the Messiah. And now for a horrible day, they watched Jesus go through the most horrendous torture, almost being killed in the torture itself, and then being hung upon a cross. And you know, they're just like, I don't know what to do with this. You know, I'm sure it was just totally emotionally draining to watch someone that you've been following go through this type of pain. And then just to think about it as an uncle. It's not just a bystander. It's not just a person. This is family. This is his nephew. This is the one that he loved. And all of a sudden he's hanging on a cross. And so, you know, for whatever reason, they are making their way back home. Maybe it's out of fear of punishment. Maybe they're afraid that Rome is just going to rise up because now the body's missing. And they're like, the disciples did it. Somebody move the body. Kill the disciples. You know, they are furious and want to find this body. Maybe it's just out of fear. Maybe, as the commentaries point out, is because of just sadness and hopelessness. For whatever reason, they're making their way back home. You know, how many times do we give up right before breakthrough happens, right before an amazing moment happens, and we give up or we exit and we look for the exit? I don't know, but I love movies. Anybody like movies in here?
Yeah.
I love going to the movie theater and eating my red vines and little popcorn. And but I could take you back to so many moments when there's like this amazing movie's happening. It's like an hour and a half into the movie, and I know in my gut, like, something good's about to happen. Like, oh, come on, here's the good part. And then I chug my soda or my water, and now I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to the bathroom right now. And I'm tapping my foot, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to the bathroom. I know it. I feel it. Something's going to happen, but I don't know. I've never seen it. I've never seen this movie. So I'm like, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it's in 30 minutes. Maybe if I slip out really fast, it's all going to be good. I'm going to make it back in time. And so I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go. I go to the bathroom. I come back, and I miss the moment. The moment that ties the entire movie together, the climax, if you will, of the movie. And I'm like, no, like, if I only knew that it was going to happen, I would have stayed. Right? If we only knew what was going to happen, if these two men only knew what was going to happen the following day, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have looked for an exit plan. Come on. You know, I remember I've had the wonderful opportunity to travel many nations around the world, and I love going to different time zones, and I love to be in the future, if you will. So you go over in Asia and different places, and then I call home and I'm like, hello, I'm actually calling you from the future. I would do that a lot when I lived in Mongolia, and it was just kind of this fun thing. And I'm like, yes, my name is Marty McFly, and I am calling you from the future. Looking good over here. And actually, my good friend Soto, he's a Mongolian. He's coming to live here in the near future. He's moving here with his wife, and we message each other quite a bit. And he will message me, and the first thing he always says is, good morning, brother. I am calling you and messaging you from the future. He said, I want you to know the future looks good. I want you to know the future looks bright. I want you to know there's clear skies up ahead. The future is good. And, you know, I just kind of like that kind of hit my spirit. Like, how many times do we wish we had somebody in our future that could tell us about our today? How many times do we just wish there was an individual 13, 14, 15 hours ahead saying, hey, it's good. Don't worry. I got this under control. There's clear skies. There's no more fires. There's no more smoke. How many times we wish we would have that? But I'm here to tell you, we do have that. See, Jesus Christ is with us in our yesterdays. He's with us today. He's our very present help today. But he goes before us, and he's in our tomorrow. See, Jesus Christ is the only one that can stand in our tomorrow, and he can hold our hand in today, and he can just say, peace. There's clear skies up ahead. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. You're going to do this. He's the only one, and that's just like the beauty of our King. He loves us. He's in our tomorrows, and he speaks to our fears of today. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. He can say that because he's already gone before us. Come on, you got a good friend in the future. It's time travel, right? Not really, but kinda for him. But he's walked in your tomorrow, and you know what? He's not afraid. He's not afraid, and he's not the least bit anxious. He has so much peace and joy and hope for your situation still. You know, I was just overcome with this thought. that maybe if I would keep my eyes on the road that Jesus walked, maybe if I would keep my eyes on the cross that Jesus hung upon, and maybe if I kept my eyes on the resurrection, maybe I would remember that there is a good and faithful Savior that is in my tomorrow. That He won't let me down. And see, sometimes I think I've taken my eyes off of the road that He's walked. I've taken my eyes off the cross. I've taken my eyes off of the resurrection. And what happens then? I just drowned in my insecurities. I drowned in my fears. And I just try and do it and scrape by myself. But it is only when we look to the cross and realize that our sins have been nailed there. Our fear has been nailed there. Our guilt and everything has been nailed there. Hallelujah. You know, this is just as a side note, but this is the beauty of the prophetic. You know, the Bible talks about prophecy and the prophetic, and just if I could boil it down in just a really simple way, that's really all it is just knowing that Jesus knows the future. Jesus stands in the future, and you pray and you ask Jesus for His perspective on that individual's life. Because He stands in that person's tomorrow. He knows what's going on. And so he can speak hope over that situation. And so it's about giving heaven's perspective. The prophetic prophecy is about edification, comfort, to edify, what am I missing here? Exhortation, edification, and comfort to men and women. That's what it's about. It's not about calling judgment and seeing demons everywhere. It's about building people up. It's about seeing from heaven's perspective. Come on, that is what it's about. Because we have Jesus in our tomorrow. It's easy to see the mud on people, but it takes the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to see the gold in people. That's just a little bunny trail, but I think you liked it. Bunny trail. Come on. Got to go on some bunny trails on Easter, right? So let's come back to these guys. You know, I believe for my own life and for you, I believe if we truly knew that we had somebody in our tomorrow, that we would sleep better. I believe that if we knew that we knew that we knew that we had somebody in our future, in our tomorrow, that loved us, that was holding us, that had our best interest at heart, if we knew that, I believe we would walk around with less anxiety and less fear. I just believe it. And so here's these two men. I haven't even read you any scripture. I'm sorry. Now behold, two men were traveling on the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked to each other all of the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and they reasoned, that Jesus Himself drew near and He went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Him. And He said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another? And why are you sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas, hope I'm getting that right, answered and said to Him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem that have not heard of the things that have happened in these days?" And He said to them, "What things are you talking about?" And so they said to Him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and crucified Him. But we were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all of this, today is the third day since these things had happened. Yes, certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find His body. They came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that He was alive." And these dudes are still leaving. What's going on? "And certain of them went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see it. Then He said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all of the prophets, that all the prophets had spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?' And beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, He expounded to them all of the scriptures and the things concerning Himself." This is a powerful story, and I'm sorry for jumping ahead of the text. Some of you are like, "I don't know what you're talking about." I love this. Here's these two men that leave Jerusalem heartbroken, sad, maybe cynical, hopeless, have some serious questions in their conversation, in their heart. And it's so interesting to me that Jesus would run after the cynical one. That Jesus would run after the one that's heartbroken and sad and feeling hopeless, leaving Jerusalem, leaving the very place where the disciples are, the ones that he needs to talk to. They're leaving, and he's like, I got to go to these guys. You know, isn't that just like our Jesus? The reckless love of God. He will pursue you. He will chase down the one. He'll leave the 99 and he'll find the one to restore hope. So here are these two individuals without hope, and then all of a sudden hope comes in the person of Jesus. Hope comes and refreshes them and restores them and begins to talk to them. Oh man, Jesus is so wonderful. But, you know, have you ever wondered, I know I have, why, especially if it was his uncle, why couldn't they see him? Why were their eyes not open to see him? And if they knew he was Savior? And, you know, I think it's found in verse 25. It says, he said this to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe." You see, these guys, they believed when he was on the earth, but all of a sudden, everything transpired, everything that it says in Isaiah 53, "A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Yeah. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." In a moment, all of the prophetic words of the Old Testament were fulfilled. Amen. Jesus fulfilled them all. But yet these guys did not believe. You see, I think many times our hearts grow dim, our hearts grow cold, we lose the fire, we lose the eyesight of our heart. And so God is more concerned and consumed about the eyes of our spirit, the eyes of our heart awakening. And so he began to talk to them. I just love this visual picture. See, he noticed that they were sad. He noticed they were hopeless. He noticed they were heartbroken. And so what does he do? He doesn't just say, "See." He says, "Okay, I'm going to just talk to you guys about from the very beginning, from Moses to all of the prophets. I'm going to teach you why this had to happen." And it says that as he began to talk, their hearts burned within them. And so all of a sudden, their hearts come alive in the presence of Jesus. And their hearts can see, their spirit man can see what's going on, can see what's happening. Something is being awakened and stirred up on the inside of them. That is what happens to us when we read God's word. When we read his word, all of a sudden, maybe things are feeling fuzzy and foggy, but your heart begins to see. Your heart begins to get awakened. You begin to know what's going on. And this is why it's important to get into worship, why it's important to get into prayer, why it's important to, come on somebody, get to church. Right. It's important stuff because our lives get transformed and the eyes of our heart open up. Yeah. Right. Amen. He says, I love what, I'll read what they say in just a minute. But before he opens our physical eyes, he wants to open our spiritual eyes. And so then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. And now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Wow. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he spoke to us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" I love this picture. And Patrick, you can jump on the guitar if you're in the room. If he's not, then somebody go track them down. I love this picture because, you know, think about communion just for a moment. You know, in communion, we remember the broken body of our Savior. We remember that His body was literally broken for us. And we remember, we drink the grape juice or the wine. We remember His poured out blood, the blood that cleanses us, the blood that sanctifies. And we remember all that He did. But there was something so special about that broken body. And this had just happened 3 days before. So 3 days before, these men are watching Jesus. They were watching His body be crushed. They're watching His body be beaten. And then all of a sudden, they're sitting at this table. He takes this bread. He breaks it. And I honestly don't know if it was the revelation of, I just saw Him be crucified. I just saw His physical body be broken. And their eyes opened up as they listened to all of the message of the Scriptures. I don't know if it was that or if they saw the nail print hands. I don't know. But something happened when they begin to break bread. Something happened as Jesus began to open the Scriptures. Something will always happen when we make time for Jesus in our life.
Yes.
He'll open our eyes. He'll open our spiritual eyes and He'll open our physical eyes. Amen. But these guys, they were heartbroken and they were wanting to go home. See, all this wouldn't have happened because they just wanted to go home. And how many times we want to just go home? And what is home? Home could be something that's familiar. It could be something that's just going back to old toxic relationships. I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm worried, and so I'm just going back to old ways of thinking. I'm going back to this old thing. I'm going back to numbing myself with social media. I gotta get my buzz on. I gotta go do a bunch of sports. I gotta numb myself because I don't want to think about the situation that I'm facing right now because it's too hard. And so I'm going home, if you will. And really, I think this is what was happening with these guys. I think they wanted to numb themselves. They were just totally emotionally, spiritually zapped. And they were feeling hopeless, sad, and they went home. But God will always meet us in our journey. God will always meet us on our road. No matter what our road is today, God will meet you on your road. Amen?
Yeah.
And so He breaks this bread with them, and their eyes are opened, and it's just this beautiful story, and I'll finish it starting in 32. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us on the road and while He opened the Scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how He was known to them in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. Here's two men that were feeling broken, were feeling sad, were feeling hopeless. And they just wanted to leave. They just wanted to get out of that situation. They just wanted to get away, not think about it anymore. And the Lord encounters them with His goodness. The Lord chases him down with His love. And their eyes are opened. And they had no intention on going back to Jerusalem. They thought it was a done deal. They thought it was over. But all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in their little dining room. And now they're like, "We got to get back to Jerusalem. We shouldn't have left. Get back." And they begin to tell all the disciples. They begin to tell everybody, "Jesus is alive. He's risen indeed." I just love this story. It just grips my heart. You know there's been times in my life where I wandered away from what I know to be true. I wandered away from the Father's heart when He had captured my heart so amazingly when I was a teenager. And I tried to walk on my own road. But He chased me down. Amen.
Amen.
And the thought that I want to leave us with today is this road. The road, the road, the road, the road, the road. The road of suffering. And the road of pain. The road of anguish. And the road of rejection and the road that he endured for you. The road that he walked because he was so incredibly in love with you. The road he faced and the road he said, I will do this because I love them. I will do this because I believe in them. This is not going to feel great, but I want to do this. And I just feel so strong in my heart that if you will keep that in front of you, as Paul said, I remember the cross of Christ. I remember the cross. I remember the sacrifice. I remember his sufferings daily. It is my prayer that every person in this room would remember the cross. That you would remember the sacrifice. Close your eyes with me just for a moment. Keep the cross before us and we keep the resurrection before us. We remember there's somebody that's looking out for us. We remember that Jesus has it under control. And we don't have to walk this life alone. We don't have to walk this road alone. But he will hold your hand. He's faithful. Faithful. We love you. We worship you. We honor you, God. We look to the cross right now. We look to the cross. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Jesus, thank you for living, for walking a road with us. We're walking the road for us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying in our place. For taking our shame and our guilt and our frustrations and our fears. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that you died in our place. That you rose from the grave. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just choose this day to remember the road. We choose this day to remember the cross. More than anything else in our life, more than the business deal, more than the marital problems, more than the financial problems, more than the kid problems, more than any problems going on in our life. We choose the cross. We choose the cross. We choose to focus on what you have accomplished. We choose to focus on the resurrection because you have conquered it all. You have defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we just honor you, wonderful Jesus. And I just feel in my heart, I just want to pray. We could all pray together. And Patrick's going to lead us in a song. But if you would just repeat this after me. And I just feel like there's many different ones in this room. And, you know, I gave my heart to Jesus probably about 10 different times. Last time it stuck pretty good. But you don't have to feel like, oh, I gave my heart when I was 8, but I drifted away. And you can get your heart right with Jesus today. You can just, and you've always loved him, but it's just about that little heart shift. And God, I've always loved you, but now I want to live for you. I've always loved you. I've always believed that you are Lord, but I want to not just believe you're the Savior of the world. I want to believe you're my Savior. I want to believe that you're my Lord. And so I just want you to repeat this after me. If you need this, just believe it in your heart. The Bible says, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. And so repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. I repent for my sins. I confess to you as Lord and Savior. I want to know you. God, make yourself known to me. Just as you did to these two men. You open the eyes of their heart. And you open their physical eyes. God, right now, open my eyes. Right now, open my heart. Right now, let my spirit come alive. Right now, let something start inside of me that will not be stopped. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. And we're going to sing. If you could just stand, I just felt appropriate just to sing and just to magnify and worship our God. And just to end this service with celebration, with worship to our King. And if you've given your heart to the Lord for the first time, I'd encourage you to pick up one of those books at the back. If you rededicated, or if you just feel something, a fire stirring. Maybe you love the Lord, but there's just a newfound fire coming. I just want you to go to the back table and just grab something. And we just want to encourage you. I just want to bless you in your journey with the Lord. We all need each other. We're a family. So God, I just pray you bless every person in this room today. Bless their families. Bless their homes. Bless their businesses, Lord Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We celebrate you as our risen King, as our Savior, as our Lord. We worship you, God. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' holy name.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed, Joseph's tomb, the entrance.
Father, we just thank you. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for resurrection power. We thank you for life, the Zoe life of God. We thank you, God, that you so loved the world that you sent your only Son, that we would live, that we shall live and not die. We just thank you, Jesus. And Elise was just feeling something in her spirit. She's going to pray this over you, and then we're going to release you to go.
So I was just over there feeling really raw, like my heart was raw, like God was doing something. And I feel like he's saying there's people in this room who feel like they're being broken open right now. And the enemy's been trying to tell you that there's something wrong with you and that you're never going to get over what it is coming against you. And that it's something wrong with your heart, that your heart is dirty or broken or messed up, or you're a failure and you're going to keep failing over and over again. And I just felt like God wanted to speak that it's an attack. Like, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. And so I just want to command shame to go right now in the name of Jesus. Anybody who's aligned with shame, I just bless you to release that into the hands of Jesus today. And I just pronounce resurrection power over your heart, that you would feel resurrection life rise up inside of you today in the name of Jesus. And I just hear him saying, do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes to get free from that shame. Do whatever it takes. And we're here for you. We will pray for you. We want you to be free from shame. So I just bless this whole room. I just decree complete breakthrough over each heart in the name of Jesus, that he is meeting us exactly where we're at. Even when you're running home, even when you're running to the old thing, he's meeting you exactly where you're at. So I just bless each heart in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Somebody just shout to Jesus real quick. We love you, Lord. We're thankful. We're a thankful people. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name. Why don't you give your neighbor a hug? Just greet. If there's anybody around you that you don't know, make sure you seek out some new faces and hug them.